We all know about the great sage Rabbi Akiva, who had reached the age of 40 and hadn't learned the word. He was already up to his second marriage in life, and he had a son with him, and they both knew nothing in Torah. And his wife got him to go learn Torah, his wife Rachel. And Rabbi Akiva really, he ended up maintaining the tradition. We know that his disciples were the greatest rabbis, Rabbi Meir, the one who, all of the Mishnah is really, we use Rabbi Meir's version of the Mishnah. Many of the students, Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai, we have many great students who were who all learned by Rabbi Akiva. Now Rabbi Akiva not only took care of their Torah, but he also took care of their material needs, meaning if he had students who couldn't make ends meet, he'd help them with charity. If he had students who didn't have warm clothing, he'd help them with attaining warm clothing. So Rabbi Akiva not only taught Torah, but he also really took care of his students, and that's why Rabbi Akiva was also always gathering funds. There was a time when Rabbi Akiva's students did not even have the clothing to wear, and the winter had come on really cold, and people were not donating enough. He was short on money, and he needed an unusual sum, and he saw he wasn't getting it. And he had heard that there was a Roman woman, a non-Jewish woman, who lived close to the city, who she was a kind woman who was happy to help. So Rabbi Akiva wasn't about to ask her for charity, but he figured, I'll ask her for a loan, and when the money comes in, I'll pay her back. So Rabbi Akiva was in anticipation of a certain sum that was supposed to come in, but had not yet come. And Rabbi Akiva went to her house, and of course she welcomed him with great honor. And she said, even though you're asking me for a large sum of money, and that's about as much as I have, but I'm willing to give you the loan, just tell me who's going to be the co-signer. Who's going to sign responsibility? So Rabbi Akiva said, whoever you want. So the woman thought, and she said to Rabbi Akiva, I want God and the sea to be the co-signers. So Rabbi Akiva said, fine, as you wish. She gave him the loan. He went. He was able to do a lot of charity, take care of the people he needed with the loan. And the day came that Rabbi Akiva was supposed to return the money. Now, Rabbi Akiva had the money on hand, and he was about to go and bring the woman back her money, when suddenly he became very ill. And he became so ill that he was incapable of moving. And he was so ill that he couldn't even send a messenger. And the woman was waiting. The morning comes and Rabbi Akiva's not there. The noon comes, the afternoon comes, and she realized that Rabbi Akiva is not coming today. She went out to the sea and she prayed. And she said, Master of the world, you know why Rabbi Akiva hasn't come to pay the debt. Must be he's very sick, or who knows, but I need that money still tonight. And she told, and Rabbi Akiva promised me that you and the sea are going to be the co-signers to give me back the money on time if he doesn't give me back. And I believed him. So please, fulfill the promise of Rabbi Akiva and give me what I deserve. And Hashem heard her prayer. And at that time, the king's daughter, the princess, was walking by the sea. And God made her have a foolish thought that moment. And she ran to her father's palace, took out a chest filled with precious gold and stones, and threw it into the sea. We know that the Romans, the emperor's daughters, we have a few stories in Chazal that they had all kinds of fits of insanity. So the sea took this box, and the waves sent it one to the other until finally the woman is standing by the sea and a chest falls by her feet. And she takes the chest home and she sees that the chest has much more money than Rabbi Kiva owed her. Rabbi Kiva got better, and when he could finally get out of his home, he rushed over to the woman's house with the money. He said, "Please don't be upset at me that I didn't come. I was so sick I couldn't come. Here's all the money." And the woman takes out the chest and she says, "Rebbe, look, when you didn't come, I asked God to fulfill the promise, and he sent me the debt and more. So I owe you the difference. So here's the difference from what you owed me and the debt. The rest you give to your students, the poor." So this is the story that Chazal tell us about Rabbi Akiva and Hashem's answering the prayers of a non-Jewish woman. Chazal tell us that non-Jews' prayers are answered more than Jews' prayers. A non-Jew, God is extra careful with their prayer, more than a Jew's prayers. A Jew, God says first, does he deserve it? Does he not deserve it? Then if he doesn't deserve it, God says, let him suffer. Let him get better. When a non-Jew prays, so God says, if he prays, then if I don't answer him, then what's he going to say? God's not there. He's not following. So there can be many instances where if a Jew were praying, God would not answer his prayer. Yet if a non-Jew prays, then God does answer their prayer. Our sages tell us that when Shlomo built the temple, when King Solomon built the first Beis HaMikdash, so he said a series of prayers, and he asked God that when people pray to the temple, God should accept their prayers. And he said, the Jews, you give them what they deserve. And the non-Jews, whenever they pray towards the temple, give them whatever they need. Because for this reason, and we see this applied in many other instances, Chazal said, for this reason, we also have a halachic implication. If a Jew says, God, I want to give this and this donation on the condition that my son becomes better. So for a Jew, that's okay. For a non-Jew, our sages say no. You shouldn't give a donation that way. Because if the kid doesn't get better, then I'll say, what I give the donation for? A Jew, we always have what people refer to sometimes as Jewish guilt. We always say, well, maybe I didn't live up to my end. Maybe I'm not good enough. So even halachically, we say, a Jew, it's a good thing if he gives a donation that way. He says, I'm giving this money to tzedakah, and God, you please make my this person better, that person better. So it goes both ways. There are advantages to either side.